Hello and good evening. Tonight my topic is heart, the center of life. And when I say that, you might naturally think that I'm talking about the physical heart. But tonight I want to speak about the spiritual portion of man. The heart often referred, or the soul or the mind often referred to as the heart. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And when we talk about our soul and our mind, it should cause us to be reminded how carefully we should guard it. And this is probably a very poor analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway for us to understand how important it is for us to be on guard. We can see in the physical world the consequences, the unfortunate consequences of bad habits on our bodies. When we don't have, when we have unhealthy eating habits, we can easily see the consequences of that. When we have a lazy lifestyle without any physical activity, and I know that some people know some people like that, that they all they seem to want to do is lay around the house and do nothing. They have no purpose, they have no goals, and they spend most of their entire life lazing around. And there's consequences of that. Also, we can see the consequences of someone that has a drinking problem or drinks in great excess. And so, you know, the results are numerous, and some of them are devastating. But so often we don't see the consequences of not guarding our heart, not guarding our mind and our soul. And that's what I want to speak to us tonight. Because that is the most important thing when we consider our physical body compared to our spiritual side. Our soul is much more important than our physical body. In Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So here we see that God created the spiritual side of man. And we are made in the image of God. That is our spiritual part. We are not made physically like God, but we are made spiritually like God. And with that being said, we understand that the spirit is an eternal being. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So here we see that God formed man, formed the flesh of man. And just like the Bible describes how man was formed, That's what's going to end up with man. The body, our bodies will once again return to the dust, to the earth, but our spirit will live eternally. And so, I encourage all of us to take very special consideration of how we guard our hearts tonight. In Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 23, the proverb writer says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The Bible is telling us to have a watchful eye
and a strict hand upon all the motions of our inward man. God has given us a strict charge with our souls, and we must keep our hearts from doing hurt and from hurting others. Not only do we have to guard against being hurt, but we have to guard on hurting others with what's in our mind, with what's in our heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's go to verse 33. Here Paul gives Christians some encouragement about evil associations and that we need to be careful about. In verse 33 it says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Sometimes we think that the associations that we have here on this in this life are not going to harm us. But a much wiser, a man, a being without limit to his wisdom, wrote these words for us. And who are we to say that we know better than God? If we think that we can have bad associations with people, people that are of the world and that might influence us to do wrong, how can we say that we know more than God and that we can overcome those influences and overcome those associations with other people that have maybe an evil influence on us? We can speak about the evil entertainment that sometimes we participate in, the television shows that we watch, the conversations that we listen to, the activities that we might participate in. All of these things are going to have an impact on our heart. And we need to make sure that we guard against those things. Be turning to Proverbs chapter 23, please. Something will fill our hearts. It won't just be empty. It'll either be something good or something bad. And when we eliminate a bad habit in our lives, we need to fill it, that empty space, with something righteous. A righteous habit. Something that would be doing us some good, that would be bringing us further along in the in our life as a Christian. If we don't, often the case is that bad habit is likely to come back. So we need to be careful about that. There are three or four things I want to speak to tonight about what impact our heart has on us. And the first one is, our heart determines our character. In other words, our heart determines who we are. In Proverbs chapter 23, in verse 7, the proverb writer says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Now, what was going on in this, in Proverbs chapter 23, was someone was pretending to welcome their friends, but weren't sincere. Sometimes we might see people, or we might be that same person that words come easy to us or to them, but they don't mean it because they know what's expected of them to say. Just like this person in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, they seem to know what to say. They seem to know what would be pleasing for someone to hear. And sometimes people know how to compliment, but the thoughts of their heart is far from good. And the point of it is our words and our actions should be the same as our heart. And of course, our hearts should be good and loving. In Genesis chapter 6, in verse 5, and it'll become quite obvious
by what I mean by this, that our hearts determine our character and who we are, after we find Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Of course, it's a story that everybody's familiar with. It's what led up to the flood that destroyed the earth and all the people therein. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What was the result of a heart that dwelt apart from God? A heart that wasn't on God and wasn't on the principles and the precepts of God. The Bible says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. If we don't guard our hearts the way God expects us to, we might find ourselves very much like these people in the days of Noah. Their unrestrained heart yielded an evil heart. When we don't restrain our hearts, when we don't bring our hearts into check, when we don't guard our hearts, the very same thing could happen to us. An unrestrained heart yielded an evil heart. The kind of heart that they had was evident in their actions and their behavior. And so the question is, if you want to know what kind of heart you have, look at your actions and look at your behavior. That will tell you what type of heart you have. Destruction in Genesis chapter 6 was their sentence. And friends, it's ours if we don't guard our hearts. The heart is where sin begins. In Matthew chapter 15, in verse 18, Matthew 15 and verse 18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. There is no sin in what we say and what we do which does not first come from the heart. All evil speakings came from the heart first. And the Bible says that's what is defiling. Or by that I mean, it makes us unclean, it pollutes us. When sin defiles our soul, it becomes ugly in the sight of God. And we must be careful in not allowing sin to begin in our hearts. And by that, it could be something as like this. It could be malice towards our brother, hatred towards our brother. And the Bible says when if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. It could be that we covet some of our neighbor's things. It's maybe not showing love towards people that are without God and unconcerned for teaching others the gospel, speaking evil of God or our neighbors or maybe our associates. And this is what we have to be careful about, where sin begins in our heart. Also, in Luke chapter 6,
Let's go to verse 45. Our heart also controls our speech. Verse 45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." The heart is the treasure, and the words are the produce of that treasure. So whatever comes out, whatever is in our heart, will come out in our speech. When the love for God is in our heart, that's a good treasure. And we can consider ourselves very wealthy, very rich. But when we don't have love for God, it will show in our speech, in our behavior, and the way we talk to others. So it's very important that we guard our heart, because it controls our speech. Of course, it's where sin begins, and also it's where faith dwells. In Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, the writer says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." There must first be faith in the heart before confession with the mouth is acceptable. We have to believe what we say. And if we confess that Jesus is the Christ, we have to believe it within our heart. And so the Bible says that is where faith begins. That's where faith dwells. It's within our hearts. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if we want faith to dwell within our heart, how do we get faith to dwell within our heart? Well, first of all, the Bible says that we have to hear the Word of God. That's where faith begins. It's by hearing the Word of God. And we're doing exactly what we should be doing this evening. In order for our faith to increase within our hearts, within our minds, we have to be assembled together. We have to spend time hearing the Word of God, privately in a Bible study, or here in this assembly. But that's the source of it. In Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11, verse 1. "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Wouldn't it be wonderful to be numbered such as these people here in Hebrews chapter 11? To have that type of faith within their hearts that pleased God.
I think that's something that we're all striving for. That's our goal here this evening, is to have a faith that God would be pleased with. A faith that would please Him, because we realize without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And if we don't guard our hearts, we won't have that faith that is necessary to please God. A person that has that faith, the Bible says, is that someone that diligently seeks God. When we diligently seek God, we will have that faith that God requires. In 1 John chapter 3, is we're getting a glimpse of the last day. A day in which we will be transformed. We will no longer have this physical body, which we understand will go back to the dust of the earth. But what will remain is that eternal part of us, that part that was created in the image of God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." At this point of the last day in our transformation, we have won the race. And the Bible says that we will be like God, and we will see Him as He is. And that's a day to look forward to. And that's a day, that's a scene, and that's a reward that we can have if we guard our hearts. And when we guard our hearts as God wants us to, we will have the character that's described in the Bible that's necessary to be pleasing to God. We will be able to flee from sin. We will be able to fill our hearts with goodness and righteousness rather than evil. We will be able to control our speech. And we will be able to have faith that will increase. There might be somebody here this evening that's not a Christian. We would like to help you. We would like to help you in any way that we can. There might be somebody here this evening that's a Christian and that has fallen short, has fallen away from God. We would like to help you also. If we can help in any way this evening, come forward as we stand and sing.